As a business owner of an aquaculture company, how can you take the first step to be profitable and sustainable at the same time? That's what we're going to be talking about in this episode. Hello, and welcome to the Business of Aquaculture podcast. This is the podcast for the sustainable business movement in the aqua farming and ocean ranching industries. This podcast aims to amplify the voices of entrepreneurs addressing the United Nations Global Goals, aka Sustainable Development Goals number 14, to conserve and sustainably use the oceans and the seas. Listen in to fellow business aquaculturists in their journey in this new model of food production, of making their business sustainable and help the ocean's ecology while also making a profit all at the same time. Get inspired to learn how even small to medium businesses can make an impact to save the seas, leave a legacy, and have a better quality of life. One of our goals is you take away a nugget of wisdom that will help your business move from the Industrial Revolution to Business 5.0. Our vision is that of collaboration in the aquaculture industry. I'm Lourdes Gant, your host.
I'd like to present you trend number 6. And trend number 6 is called Humanity 5.0 in a Society 5.0 world. So Japan launched what's called Society 5.0 in 2019. And what is it about? So I've been talking about this since I became a member of Genius U, and it was fascinating because I thought it was interesting to know what is 1.0, what is 2.0, yada yada. So with that, I present to you this video of what it's about.
We are entering Society 5.0, which is changing how we live our lives completely, and you probably don't even know what it is. Let me explain to you and how it will affect you. Society 1.0, farming foundations. The power lay with the few who owned the land. And then Society 2.0 emerged. Machines rise. The divides between the rich and workers thrive. Then Society 3.0, the advent of the internet and the impact on communication, and it altered the way society operated, which leads to Society 4.0. Technology unite. This brought the integration of technology into daily life, the development of smart cities, efficient transportation, and improved quality of life, which brings us to Society 5.0. People plus technology, artificial intelligence, robotics, a future that's bright, the merging of AI and human capabilities, ecotech, greener, leaving a lighter mark. But what is society? It's a group of people who share the same values and beliefs. This is society's journey, showing technology's role. Society 5.0, unite for a better goal. Like, share, and follow me for more interesting videos like this.
So this is a video that you can find on Instagram. Like, share, and comment. And why am I doing that? Because when Japan launched Society 5.0, it also talked about what industries are going to be trusted and what industries will gain distrust. So this is in a report in Sam Edelman Trust Barometer report from 2022 or 2023, I think, maybe even 2021. So trust boom sectors includes technology, travel and tourism, and entertainment. Boom models has to have cash positive. It has to be decentralized and it has to be global. Unfortunately, distressed sectors are retail and trade, construction and government, and bus models are companies that have a lot of cash burn, centralized and local. So we talked about a lot of this yesterday, wherein there's a big shift in terms of how technology is growing exponentially. Again, you can read this in your own time, but know that all of these are happening now. We talked about the gig economy, the blockchain economy, and the circular economy, which are the three economies that are sweeping the planet. So again, you can read this in your own time, but just put this on the back of your toolbox because we're going to talk a lot about this some more. So this is when Japan launched Society 5.0, which talks about liberating humanity. And the reason being is that there's a limit that's happening from Society 1.0 to 4.0 that's going to be alleviated by Society 5.0. So here's the visual of what I was talking about there, wherein we moved from the hunter-gatherer and then agrarian society, industrial society, and information society to now entering 5.0, wherein there's a lot of talk about Internet of Things, big data, artificial intelligence for sure. So why is this going to be helpful for us? Because it's an initiative roadmap for today's entrepreneurs and intrapreneurs. It's a combination of having a co-pilot, as I mentioned yesterday. So what's the difference between a society 4.0 and 5.0 in terms of economies of scale, uniformity, concentration, vulnerability, and high environmental impact and mass consumption of resources? So you can read this at your own time again, but know that there's actually quite a big difference between just one society to another. And as an entrepreneur or intrapreneur, I mentioned these five fundamentals yesterday. You need to have better insight so that you can have high impact, high income, and it has to be both, not one or the other. It has to be both high touch and high tech. Buckminster Fuller is one of the people that Roger, who's the founder of Genius U, really resonates with. And he talks about the world game. To make the world work for 100% of humanity in the shortest possible time through spontaneous cooperation without ecological offense or the disadvantage of anyone. Remember yesterday, trend number 5 is about strategic synergies, and we can't live in society 5.0 without collaboration. Buckminster Fuller's certified by 70-foot Dymaxium map is a center for learning about world resources, problems, and prospects in a global scale. Students standing on the map enjoying a view equivalent to that from 1,500 miles above the Earth. It is the integrity of each individual human that's in final examination, and on personal integrity hangs humanity's fate. So what's your action step for this trend? What does Society 5.0 mean to you? Maybe you can have your own personalized definition of how you can move from 1.0 to 5.0. In May of 2021, we added the podcast in our offering because we knew that we cannot reach as many people if we didn't have any activity in our operations that's able to move to 5.0. So our conferences is the roadmap to that, and then live events. And obviously, we were able to get into the that was the main reason why we're able to connect with the high profile people here in the industry, because they know us and they are able to know what we're up to, which is towards supporting two of the UN SDG, number 14, Life Below Water, and number 17, Partnership for the Goals. I now bring you trend number 7. Even though the world is in chaos, and I don't know if you've watched the Game of Thrones, I used to show a video of winter is coming. Winter is coming. Unfortunately, winter is already here. With a VUCA world, I don't know if you heard that term, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous world we live in, high inflation rates, banks are closing, and a lot more that's happening. It also paved the way for universal inclusivity. But what is that? So let's watch this.
Boss is coming.
You take care of this for me.
Sure thing.
Thank you.
Wait, let me guess. You had a very different mental picture in your head when I said boss. Did it look more like him? Don't worry, you're not alone. Our brains make automatic associations without us even realizing it. And while these associations help us make rapid-fire decisions, they can also be influenced by our potential blind spots. Prototype bias happens when we have a preconceived notion of who we think would be right for a particular role based on stereotypes. These mental pictures are based on who we've seen succeed in the past and can influence who we think will succeed in the future. Let's test the theory. Don't worry. Just between us. I'm going to say a word, and I want you to point to the word on the screen that you most associate with it. Ready? Let's go. Delicate. Powerful, caring, family, career, strong. What's happened? Well, if you're like most people, you associated communal words with female and assertive words with male, because those implicit associations are ingrained in our unconscious mind. A network of researchers from prominent universities developed the implicit association test. This test helps people identify their potential unconscious biases across a variety of dimensions. These types of ingrained associations can often shape our prototypes for who's qualified to lead in the workplace. Take the orchestra. When the orchestra started conducting blind auditions in the 70s, the number of female musicians shot up 20%. So either women suddenly played exponentially better when behind the curtain, or the conductors weren't aware they had a prototype bias towards male musicians, and this bias was costing the town. Another study found that the exact same resumes with more black-sounding names received 50% fewer callbacks than those same resumes to traditionally white names. The idea of prototype bias cuts even deeper than that. Studies show we often have prototypes for the people we believe would succeed in the job, and we may unconsciously change our criteria to help those people get the job. You may be thinking, I'm not like that. Well, the participants in a study with prototype bias thought the same thing. And ironically, those who thought they were most objective ended up being the most biased. Blind spots can span any dimension of diversity and can potentially lead to bad decisions. Not only can blind spots limit our own choices, they may result in missed opportunities that don't lead to the best possible outcomes. The good news is that there are ways to overcome prototype bias. You can start by setting objective criteria. This can help prevent you from being swayed by irrelevant factors. And you can double-check your objectivity by sharing the why behind your decisions. Lastly, don't make assumptions based solely on your idea of fit, because when it comes to success, one size doesn't fit all.
One size doesn't fit all. So this is actually a very old video from PricewaterhouseCoopers, and it's interesting that they've been talking about this for quite some time now. And I just wanted to share that with you because there's a lot of talk in terms of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And again, you can take a look at some of these videos that and resources, why inclusivity and the world in chaos is both a, how do you say it in English? One side of the coin and the other, right? There's the chaos, but also there's this acceptance. And so how many of you have watched these movies that talk about femininity and talks about, you know, Oppenheimer? If you watch all this movie, it's again talking about the dichotomy between the world in chaos and inclusivity. And so don't be scared, because it's interesting that we can actually see that history is seasonal. And when we say winter is coming or winter is already here, this has been drafted wherein history actually repeats itself. So you can see here that the progressive 1843 to 1859 repeats again from 1925 to 1942, wherein the artists are the ones thriving in that time in history. There's a crisis, there's winter, there's end of the old, which is where we're coming in since 2020 when the pandemic hits. And then the prophet thrived in the missionary times between 1860 to 1882, and it repeated again with the baby boomers in 1943 and 1960. And then, of course, the lost, which is the nomads, wherein there's awakening, summer, new world order between 1883 to 1900, repeated again in my generation for Gen X, 1961 to 1980. So we can foretell what's going to happen next. So there's that confidence that if we prepare and ride these waves, then we will be better off. So where did I get all this information? There's a guy named Ray Dalio, and his book is called The Changing World Order. And he has a technology that at the beginning we're forecasting where investments are going to thrive. But he just didn't use this technology just to forecast where he's going to make money from his company. He also did this with countries of when countries are thriving and when there's going to change. Let's watch a little bit of this.
The changing world order. The times ahead will be radically different from those that we've experienced in our lifetimes, though similar to many times before. How do I know that? Because they always have been. Over my roughly 50 years of global macroeconomic investing, I've learned the hard way that the most important events that surprised me did so because they never happened in my lifetime. These painful surprises led me to study the last 500 years of history for similar situations, where I saw that they had indeed happened many times before, with the ups and the downs of the Dutch, British, and U.S. empires. And every time they did, it was a sign of the changing world order. This study taught me valuable lessons that I'm going to pass along to you here in a distilled form. You can find the comprehensive version in my book, Principles for Dealing with the Changing World Order.
So my team is going to drop the link for this video. It's a 43-minute video, but it's worth watching because you're going to find out where the changing world order is happening in the next 3 years. I remember I mentioned to you yesterday, where do you want to see yourself 3 years from now? And so with that, you can do that in your own leisure. We talked about BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, creating their own currency, now joined by different countries. This was in 2022, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey. And in 2023, a lot more countries had joined because they wanted to create a new currency called BRICBOX. I talked about the Sam Edelman report, and it talks about the trust crisis. And again, I'm not going to go through this one by one. You have this in your own time on what is in this report. But you know what's interesting is this report was from 2022. So I wanted to share with you that actually the report for 2024 just got released 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. And so I'm going to share with you an interesting fact wherein what actually is being trusted in terms of innovation by people. So can you see my screen? I think you can. And it talks about the kind of innovations that are being accepted. And in this report, 2024 Edelman Trust Barometer Report, green energy has the highest embrace in terms of innovation. AI is second. I would have thought that there will be more people resisting that, but it's just okay with this, right? It's in the brink between okay and embracing. Gene-based medicine is right there. Unfortunately, GMO foods needs more acceptance. It's in the lower scale. So I thought I'd share that with you because it's fascinating when these reports come out. And sometimes we have a connotation of what's going on, and then until we see some new information that sometimes validate or doesn't validate what we're believing. And so I thought that I'd share that with you because I was fascinated by all these reports because I'm a mechanic, and we'll have a little bit more information with Stuart there later of what that means. But basically, what your profile is in terms on how you use your natural ability, your own genius. And so with that, I would like to go next to my next slide, and hopefully I can share my screen here somewhere. Here. So with that, I'd like to, again, you can do this in your own leisure. And I just wanted to bring this to your attention. Just 3 weeks ago, four women-founded public companies has been sweeping the news because Cisco, Estée Lauder, and BlackRock and iRobot has just made news on how much money this four women-founded companies had made in the last recent years. $55 billion for Cisco, and you can see this again. So what is your action step for this trend? Join us in our LinkedIn community. We are very diverse, and we'd love to include you, whatever it is, where part of the world you are. We are a very diverse community. That now leads me to trend number 8, sustainable urban development, crafting future-ready livable cities. A lot of other countries are already proactive of what's happening in terms of embracing sustainability, resilience, and inclusivity, specifically Singapore, Abu Dhabi, and Saudi Arabia. Education and EdTech, education technology, has been helping do this. I mentioned I'm a member of the Genius U Group, country partner for Canada, and we just recently partnered up with Fatbrain AI. Stuart is going to be talking about how you can have better agile leadership system and what the talent dynamics is. After my talk. And again, you can watch this at your own leisure. And I said this yesterday, and these are just articles that you can see online, Wall Street Journal, Business Insider, Tech.co, talking about half of humanity, not just Americans, will see automation replacing their job. Remember, I mentioned yesterday, 50% of us let's just say what it is, are going to be replaced. But there's also good news. In other articles, we're in saying some of us will actually get a raise. There may be even more jobs that's going to be created. So what's your action step? I mentioned this yesterday. Join us in the AI Microschools every quarter, and I'd like to see you there. Which leads me now to trend number 9, digital and blockchain innovations for ethical transparency. How many of you have not heard about having transparency, having able to trace farm to table your food? Traceability is a big thing in the seafood industry right now. Transparency in supply chain, again, you can read all this, but I wanted to specifically talk about this. Have you ever wondered why the British pounds or US dollars are called currencies? So put in the chat if you do. Well, the reason being is it's supposed to be, it has to move around like the current of air or current of a river. Unfortunately, because of a lot of printing of money recently, it's stagnating and literally rotting in value and being devalued. That's why all these new currencies are being invented right now. So how are you going to apply this practically? Can you think of a digitization and innovation? Maybe you're applying for a grant or you're pitching to an investor where you can add traceability as a component. And so with this, all of the technologies that you're seeing wherein artificial intelligence is helping how all these sectors are basically sweeping any industries. So the action step for this is, if you don't have technology, who can you collaborate with? Maybe who can help you? At the end of the day, we are all going to be equal, right? And so with all this technology, with all these trends that I share with you, it's not really the trends that are important. Well, I mean, they are, but the insights that you get from this 2 day together that you've been learning, that you've been able to see, because we are in the brink of change. When language was invented, when fire was invented, when electricity was invented, maybe even money, biology were invented, AI is going to be bigger than all these inventions. And maybe fortunately, unfortunately. So with that, I'd like to leave you with the last video that I'm sharing with you. Go ahead, Valentina.
I have so many questions to ask you.
Spa.
Technology that could solve our problem.
Your problem, the problem is you. You lack the will to change.
Then help us change.
I cannot change your nature. You treat the world as you treat each other.
But every civilization reaches a crisis point eventually.
Most of them don't make it.
Yours did? How?
Our sun was dying. We had to evolve in order to survive.
So it was only when your world was threatened with destruction that you became what you are now?
Yes.
Well, that's where we are. You say we're on the brink of destruction, and you're right. But it's only on the brink that people find the will to change. Only at the precipice do we evolve. This is our moment. Don't take it from us. We are close to an answer.
Thank you, Valentino. And with that, I leave you. We are very close to an answer. We're at the brink and precipice with all these changes that are happening. So I'd like to be able to invite you that you join us in the community. And obviously, we wanted to be able to see you at the Micro School or the SAM. All of these are available in your slides. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you are inspired from this episode. Do take a moment and share this with your friends and colleagues, and rate and review the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'd love to know what your biggest takeaway from this conversation has been. What are you going to do differently? Please share your thoughts across social media and tag us. For links and show notes for this episode, visit our website, www.sustainableaquaculture.ca/podcast. Thank you again. I hope you will join me on the next episode, and together we can help create a better business in aquaculture.